And just in that discussion with the Treasurer, we mentioned last night's third and final leaders' debate. Not surprisingly, both leaders last night sought to play to their strengths. To help us analyse the debate and the issues and the pitches of both leaders, I'm joined now by Phil Khoury, our regular Thursday political commentator and the political editor for the Australian Financial Review, and Mark Kenny, a veteran of the Canberra Press Gallery and these days senior fellow with the Australian Studies Institute at ANU. Phil and Mark, welcome.
Morning, Fran.
Good morning, Fran.
Well, yes, I can hear you. We'll be hearing from the leaders shortly, I hope. Phil, you were there watching it. No knockout blows particularly, no major bust-ups. Do you think this debate would have shifted votes one way or another? I mean, people nationally, this was on free-to-air TV at prime time. A lot of people would have had a look.
I think it was certainly the most important debate in that context, Fran. We've had two previously, one early in the campaign on Channel 7's second channel, which didn't get carried by other stations, and then on Sky News, which you had to pay for to watch. So I think just by virtue of it being at prime time on free-to-air, it would have had a wider audience. So, yes, it was important in that respect. Did it shift votes? No idea. There's not much the evidence around, both anecdotally and according to focus groups and so forth, is that not much appears to be shifting people at all, neither the leaders nor their campaigns. So I didn't see much in the debate last night that, there's either negative by a leader or overtly positive that would change my view on that. I just really don't know.
Mark Kenny, what did you think? Much has been made of the Prime Minister being right across the detail. There was a few moments when Bill Shorten seemed to be a bit shaky on the detail of some of his own policies. What did you think?
Well, look, I think that's been true of all of the debates, really, that Bill Shorten has, in some cases, I think because he has a bigger onus on him, Fran, to explain the changes that he's putting forward. There is a lot of detail. There are these things not easily reduced to one or two minute kind of answers in debates. And so I think there have been times when Bill Shorten has looked a little uneasy trying to outline that detail. But going back to the, and Morrison on the other hand, his attack lines have just been very polished and very sort of abrupt and direct, and he's sort of stuck to them in a very disciplined way. So I think he's performed well in that sense, but that doesn't necessarily translate to winning debates. And I think the interesting thing about last night, I agree with Phil's point about it is hard to know who won the debate. What you can say is that no one won it decisively, no one lost it decisively. But they went into the debate with different missions, because Scott Morrison really didn't need to have that big win. He needs the game-changing debate because he's behind. And as Phil said, nothing's really changed the lead that Labor's had all the way through this campaign, and that debate last night certainly didn't do it either.
There's been some talk about the debate being fought on Labor's policy. In fact, I received one text accusing the moderator, Sabra Lane, of being biased because all the questions were about Labor's policies. I don't know that that was the dynamic at work here, but it is a dynamic that is reflected in this broader campaign. I mean, Labor's made itself feel a big target in this campaign. It's put out there controversial changes to franking credits, superannuation, negative gearing. How did that work last night? Was that really just a reflection of the fact that the government finds itself attacking Labor's plans rather than putting forward its own?
Yeah, well, this whole campaign is being fought over Labor's policy agenda because the coalition doesn't really have one, other than the tax cuts it unveiled in the budget. I mean, the government's got a deliberate small target strategy of, everything's all right, don't change. Now, the economy's recovered, the budget's getting back into surplus. We're going to leave you alone. We can fix everything without it hurting. Labor's the one with the agenda shake, promising to shake everything up. They're the ones making, broad-scale tax changes. So it's only natural the debate would centre on their agenda. I mean, Scott Morrison's whole campaign has essentially been about pulling apart Labor's agenda. This isn't a criticism, it's an observation. It's just how it is, because Labor's the one, as one of the MPs said at the start of the campaign, we've got our bum hanging out in the breeze, Fran.
And complaining about, there being some bias because it was about Labor policies is quite ridiculous. Scott Morrison had two questions of his own to Bill Shorten, and they were about Labor policies. So, it had nothing to do with the moderator.
Yeah, no, Sabra did a really good job, I thought.
I thought so too. As expected, climate change was a key issue last night, as it has been in this campaign. The Prime Minister was keen to talk about Labor's climate policy costings. Let's listen.
Bill Shorten said it was a dumb question the other day to ask what the cost was. I don't think it is. I think it's a very fair question. And Australians deserve to know what that cost is. I was down at Ross Finnamore's transport company in northern Victoria the other day. They are one of the companies that will have to go and pay for carbon credits from overseas. It could cost them as much as $10 million a year. You've got Manildra down on the south coast of New South Wales. They'll have to pay more out of their pockets.
That's the Prime Minister, Bill Shorten's response from that. He took back calling it a dumb question. He said it's a dishonest question. It's a question of charlatans was his response. And he says you can't really be pressing on that if you're not taking into account the cost of not taking action. How's this working for him, do you think, Phil? Because Scott Morrison keeps saying Bill Shorten is being shifty here. But do you think people are accepting the Labor argument?
Look, again, impossible to give a yes-no answer on that, Fran. But look, the cost of the, when you talk about the cost of the policy, there's the economic cost. That's the broad cost of the economy over 10 years of reducing emissions by 45%. And Labor's Tanya Plibersek again this morning sort of said on AM, you know, that's the sort of roughly in line with the same economic impact of the coalition's policy, according to Warwick McKibben. What Scott Morrison was talking about was the 250 businesses which would be subject to a baseline and credit scheme. They'd have to reduce their emissions over a decade, and they can offset that with buying these foreign permits. Now, because Labor hasn't put sufficient detail on that policy yet, and most importantly, the trajectory by which those emissions would be reduced, it actually is impossible to estimate on a business-by-business, sector-by-sector basis the actual cost. So it's natural, in a political sense, the government will throw a number in there on Labor's behalf, whereas Labor has left itself exposed on that flank throughout the campaign because it can't actually give a reliable estimate, and it chose not to at the start of the campaign.
And Mark Kenny, no doubt climate change is a major issue, and we've got another survey out, the Lowy Institute, saying it's very high on people's priorities. Bill Shorten not giving that number, but he keeps giving his pitch about the modern Australia, equating issues like climate change with looking to the future. Let's have a listen.
I want my kids to grow up in 2030 and see a more modern Australia. I want them to see a nation which has embraced climate change and action on climate change. I want to see a country where your postcode, your gender, your parents' wealth, the faith you follow, and how many generations you've been in this country are not the predictors of your success.
So that's, in a sense, the response he keeps coming back to, talking about the future being a modern country, making a pitch, well, to younger voters, but not only to younger voters. Does that cover him, Phil or Mark, in terms of, you know, not necessarily having the answer to the costs?
Well, look, I think that it does. I think whenever this election campaign is being fought on the ground of climate change, then it's a positive for Labor. I think this is a serious strategic weakness for the coalition, has been for a long time. It pretty much defines the coalition's intransigence on moving forward in this area. And I think everything that Bill Shorten's saying there is resonating with voters. This question about the costs, look, I think it's awkward. I think some people who are right in the middle might be worried about that, and certainly some businesses are going to have some concerns about it. But everyone accepts that the economy has to change, that we're in a transition phase. As Shorten said last night, you could talk about, you know, companies that used to pump chemicals straight into rivers, they no longer do it. We can't just keep pumping chemicals straight into the air either. And so I think that's broadly accepted. And if the election's being fought on climate change, then I don't think it's going to be for the coalition.
Okay. And Shorten made that point last night when Mr. Morrison said, I will rule from the middle. You know, when he was asked, are you going to be controlled by the left or the right? And he said, I'll rule from the middle. And Bill Shorten made that point. Well, you know, clearly you can't because of your climate change policy. So it is sort of more emblematic of the policy influence within the coalition.
Okay. Just before we go away from the debate, I just want to go to another moment. It was a bit of a moment on the campaign yesterday. We're nearly out of time, but just want to play a little bit of Bill Shorten fighting back against the Sydney Daily Telegraph front page yesterday. And it was where they accused him of basically misleading, being shifty over how he portrayed his log cabin story. Let's have a listen to Bill Shorten.
I explained what drives me. My mum is the smartest woman I've ever known. That is why I work with strong women. That is why I believe in the equal treatment of women. But it's more than that. My parents sent me to a rich school. But we were not rich. We were not poor. We were not rich. We were like hundreds of thousands of other families. My family spent all their spare cash on educating Robert and I.
That was Bill Shorten. Phil, what did you think of that moment from Bill Shorten?
I think it humanised him, Fran. I think that was the missing element in this campaign for Shorten, and it enabled him, you know, to probably add a dimension to his character that voters may be waiting to see. So if the Telegraph's aim was to, put a sword through him, I think it had the opposite effect.
Mark, yeah,
I agree.
Got 15
I think his
seconds.
Elections are about connection points with voters. He was handed one yesterday and he made a very strong connection with a lot of people. And remember, it's Mother's Day coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Timing can be everything in politics. And remember too, I suppose, that what we keep hearing from the coalition, what comes through from their focus testing, is that Bill Shorten lacks authenticity. I guess that was a moment for that. Phil Khoury, Mark Kenny, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Easy peasy.
Phil Khoury, political editor with the Australian Financial Review, and Mark Kenny, senior fellow with the Australian Studies Institute at ANU.